the Machaber of the Mishpat Shlomo had a shot from his son-in-law Rav Rachim Sardis, who told him the following maisa. There was a sofer who had an order to write a certain amount of mezuzahs, and the deal was that the buyer said, I want mezuzahs which are perfect, that are perfect. Perfect mezuzahs that have not been corrected, nothing wrong with them, just written from the beginning.
Perfect
is not correct. There was no
corrections, right?
What?
You
can. No, but along the way. Or there's certain corrections that you can make. And that's the case that happened over here. Because what happened was, the sofer gave the mezuzahs to his customer. The customer took them home, and he looked at it for a day, and then he took it to the sofer, his own sofer, to check him over. And his sofer said, look at this over here, there's a smudge between these two letters, and it's puzzle. I could fix it, because it wasn't a psul that, it still has tzura. So, the halach was, it could be fixed, but right now it's puzzle as is. So the customer went back to the sofer and said, this is not what I ordered. I ordered mezuzahs which are perfect, and that didn't have any shilas, no corrections, and now this has a correction. The sofer replied, well, I wrote it perfectly because this smudge came from some moisture. Someone was looking at it with greasy hands or wet hands, and it's clear that that's what happened, and that's not a shaila. Everyone agrees that it was written properly. The issue is, when did the defect occur? Right? Who had the wet hands? Who had the sweaty hands? Was it the sofer who had the sweaty hands, or was it the customer who had the sweaty hands? Right, that is the shaila. Right. Well, let's assume that that's not. I mean, that no one had a shaila with. Yes, he opened up and it said, "Look," and he showed it to him right away. So that's the shaila, and this is just a shaila that happens a lot. You buy something and you find a defect, and the store says you messed it up. It was fine when it left here. It was your fault that it got defective. This shaila I mentioned the other time that happened to me once, that I bought a car in the winter, and in the summer the air conditioner wasn't working right. So I thought it must be that it was wrong to start with because I hadn't used it, and now it's not working. And the dealer said, no, even in the winter you use the compressor, because the defroster uses the compressor, and if the compressor was broken in the winter, your defroster wouldn't have worked properly. Okay, so that was the I trusted him, and I assume that he's right. But suppose there wasn't any such right. You buy something and you haven't used it until the summertime, and now it's a shiloh. When did it break? Was it broken when you purchased it, or was it broken afterwards? The case we spoke about, that you bought a house in the summer and Eretz Yisrael, and then the winter starts raining, and it's like last week, and then there's a retivut, it's all moisture in the house, it's not waterproofed. So that's simple. That was from the time of the I didn't do anything to do that. It wasn't built right to start with. If there's ways of knowing when something was defective. So if you know that it was defective in the hands of the seller, there's nothing to talk about. Even if you find a defect years later, you still have the right to return it. Our shaila was on things that are suffering when the defect occurred. Did they occur in the hands of the seller, or did they occur in the hands of the buyer, like this case over here? Who smudged the tefillin? Was it the original sofer that smudged it, or was it the buyer who smudged it with his untrained hands looking at it the day before he took it to his sofer? Right, that's the shaila. Or anytime we buy it, a car, it doesn't work. Was it broken when I bought it, or did it break afterwards? So what do you do in such a case?
Okay, this is the sugya of kan nimsa, kan hoya.
The Gemara Ksuvah is because it's a complicated Gemara, so I'm just put the end on the handout. The shaila there, the mission of the Perek started with a case where the shaila started with a case where they hamachlev shar v'chamar, they. I did chalipin. I have a cow and you have a donkey, and I want to trade with you, and we'll do it through kinyan chalipin. When you take my para, when you take my chamar, when you take my para, I will acquire your chamar wherever it is. Right? Kinyan chalipin. And the shaila was that by the time he got to the donkey, it was dead. And the question is, did it die after he made the kinyan or before he made the kinyan? Right? A shaila like we have. So the Gemara goes on to this case. Shmuel said, Kol shenolan hasafeg bershuso olav haraya. Wherever the shaila comes up, he has to prove that he's right. Over here, since the owner of the para had already acquired the chamar, he made the kin, he gave up his cow, and he now acquired the donkey. It's now in his rishos. Some rishonim learn it has to be physically in his rishos. Some say the fact that he acquired it makes it in his rishos. That's the machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. But whosoever rishos it is has to bring a raya, even though he didn't pay yet. He has to bring a proof to avoid paying. The Gemara asks a kasha, and this is the little case we're going to talk about. Meisvei asks a kasha from a braisa. Machad shenimseis be'ovi beis hakosos. You know there's halacha of treifa, that there's 18 treifas which are halacha l'mashmisina. If an animal has any one of these health problems, defects, we can say it's a treif, it's going to die within 12 months, and it has to, and you can't eat it. That's a treifa. You know, there was a shaila with a famous story with the note of a Yehuda. Right, there was someone that was very sick, and all the doctors couldn't cure him. So he went to, I forgot the exact who it was. He went, I think, to the note of a Yehuda, and the note of Yehuda said, "Go to that city over there, because whoever the rov was in that city holds by an animal that's not a treifa, and you'll be living in this city, and you won't be, what you have is that treifa, and you'll be okay." And that's what he did. Okay, so the halachas of treifa. One of the 18 treifas are a needle that's in the beis halkosos. An animal has 4 or 5 stomachs, the way how depending how you count them. And the beis halkosos is the reticulum. And it has a little suction type things on its wall, which helps it digest, break down the food. So if there's a needle through the thick part of those beis halkosos, that's a treifa, if it goes all the way through. Now the shaila could be, though, after you shech the animal, you find this needle there. Was the needle there before the shechita or after the shechita? Right? When did the needle puncture through the beis halkosos? So the braisa says a few rules. It says, nimsa alehal karet dam, if there's some blood on the needle, so then be yadua shehu lefnei shechita, then you know that it punctured the wall before the shechita, because it started bleeding and the blood got on the needle. If there's no blood on it, on the needle, then that means that it was dead meat and the needle went through at that time. You know, the animal had swallowed a needle and it somehow punctured the beis halkosos after the shechita, and that's why there's no blood there. So it's kosher. Now, huglat pihamaka. Let's assume there was blood on the needle, but we're doing our investigation and we find that there's a scab over the whole of the wound. So we know it happened while it was alive because it was already starting to heal. Now, the Gemara assumes that it takes 3 days after a wound for a scab to form. So, b'yadua sheshlosha yamin kodem shechita. We know that the puncture occurred 3 days, at least 3 days before the shechita. So then, the halacha will be, if you bought it within those 3 days, so then, right, he bought shechted animal, so then he could get his money back, because we know that it happened beforehand while it was in the hands of the seller. Lo hugla piyamika hamaka, but if suppose there was no scab on it, so you don't know when the defect, when the mum occurred. So then hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. So Gemara says, Pashup shad is, hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya, look normal. Whoever has the money wins. If I didn't pay yet, if the butcher didn't pay yet, he doesn't have to pay. If he paid yet, he can't get his money back until he proves that it was already a treifa at the time of the sale. So the Gemara has a kasha on Shmuel. So you see, we're not saying kanyim sakan ha, you were saying, v'yidu la yoda yohiv tabach dame, if the butcher hasn't paid yet, the owner of the animal is going to have to bring a proof to get his money. Over here, the suffix occurred in the rishos of the butcher. He had already, it was in his possession, in physical possession. He hadn't paid for it yet. The money doesn't make the kinyan. He had made kinyan mashicha. It's in his possession. We should say, kanyimsa kanuayah. So the Gemara answers, yeah, that's the halacha. And what the Gemara is talking, the Braisa says, because normally the seller won't give away a cow unless he gets paid for it. So the assumption is that he paid already. But Rashi explains, if he had not paid, if he had not paid yet, so then the halacha would be, he still has to pay for the animal, because kan nimsa kan hoya, the defect was found in his rishos, and he has to pay. He has to prove that it did not occur. He has to prove that it occurred beforehand. Right. So that's the Gemara ends up saying. There's this rule called kanim sekan hoya. Even though normally we have a rule, hamotzi mechaver olav araya, whoever has the money in his possession has the upper hand. If it's a shaila where something occurred defective, a defect occurred to an animal in his possession. We'll say pashup shad, like it's he owns it now. That's the way the Ramah paskins. He owns it now, and certainly if it's physically in his domain, in his possession. So then, even though he didn't pay yet, he has to pay until he proves. The burden of proof is on him. He has to prove that it was defective, that it was a treifa in this case at the time that he sold. And that's the halacha. That's the halacha from the Gemara, and it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Yud Aleph. Hamocher behema lechaveiro letavcha. The Shulchan Aruch puts in, he sold a behema to his friend letavcha, and the friend told him he's using it for shechita. We'll see why in a second. V'shachtan, he shachted him into treifa, and he found out it was treifa. So if he knew that it was a treifa when he bought it, so then he says he gets his money back. But if he bought it within those 3 days, it says the Mekar Tos, he gets his money back. But if he didn't buy it within those 3 days, right? He bought it 5 days later, so we don't know when it happened. Or he bought it within 3 days and there wasn't any scab yet, so we really have no idea when this needle punctured. We know what happened when it was live because it has blood on it, but we don't know when it happened in his rishos. So since the suffix came up in his rishos, al halokeach lavi raya, the buyer has to prove it. Bimlo, if he can't prove that it was defective at the time of the sale, yafsid, he loses v'yitin adam imimimadam yodon, he has to pay for it. Okay, so that's the halacha based on the Gemara. Just a couple of the yukim, the Choshen Aaron from Aaron Valkin, he says why did he have to say it's for shechita? Because we learned this halacha earlier. I'm not sure if everyone will agree with him, but just good chazar from this halacha that we learned, that the halacha is if you buy something and you use it, and after you've used it you find out that it's defective. Right, we said the case of you buy a bolt of fabric and you start cutting it out, and when you get to the middle, you find that it's all defective and there's not enough to do what you need to do, so you can return the whole thing to the seller and get your full refund. And you can't say, well, look, I can't do anything with these pieces that you cut up, because as long as you did a normal usage of that item, you're not responsible to pay for any damage. However, if you do something unusual with it, you bought some type of machine and you toasted it and now it can't be used anymore, so it's okay. But if you decided to use it as a hammer and bang it, and then you tried using it and it's broken, so look, even if you didn't break it, the fact that you did an unusual use, you can't get your money back. So he says that's why over here he had to tell the seller, I'm buying it for shechita, and then he shechted it, because if he was really just buying it to use in his field, so then the marker could say, what you shechted for? You said you're using it for your field, and if you had used it for your field, you would have never cared about this treifa, so it's your fault. So that's the Choshen Aaron says it has to be talking where he told the person he was using it for shechita. Davni Choshen has an interesting shaila. He says he has a lot of times people in the animal business come to me, and they say that the minhag malkum is whenever such a case happens, they go to court, the Goyisha courts, and the Goyisha courts decide, well, when did this happen? They make an estimation when it happened, and based on that, they make the psak. So the Avnei Choshen says that doesn't seem right to rely on the Goyisha courts, and it's not like the halacha we just learned here. We learned that you have to have a clear proof that the defect occurred in the before the sale, and other, if you don't have that, you have to pay. So he doesn't like it, except he says, once that became a minug, and we've had this such a svar in the past, once that has become a minug, so we could say, adai to the hachi, that you sold it on this condition, knowing that if something goes wrong, we'll rely on the court system to use it. I mean, that's his limud schus. We said something like that last year, when we said by car accidents, there was a svar that even if api halacha, 2 years ago, even if api halacha, one person is pater api halacha, but according to the insurance company, he's chayiv. There we said that since everyone buys insurance, it could be that when they're buying the insurance, they're doing it adaita tohachi of the rules of the insurance companies, and you can't take them to the Torah and overturn what the insurance companies are paskening. So that might be a similar shaila here. But Mishpat Shlomo wants to know, like, what's the svara here? Like, what's the svara? We're saying, we have a rule all over Shas, Hamosi Machaveiro, all over Raya. And over here we're saying that we don't know when the animal became treif. We don't know when it became treif. No one knows. And there's a rule, even if it's Bari Vashema, even if the seller knew for sure, said for sure, I know it was fine in my possession. The halach is, when it's Bari Vashema, a Bari isn't strong enough to be Motzi Mammon. A Bari can't be Motzi Mammon. You can't say a Bari to take money from somewhere. And over here, the owner of the animal is taking money from the buyer on the basis of the fact that the mum, the defect, was found in his rishus. Like, what's going on here? Where do we have such a thing? But there's a rule, hamotzi mechaveiro alav araya. You can say you're sure and he's not sure, and you still can't take the money from him. You can say whatever you want, but you can say whatever you want, and there's still, how do you take it out of his possession? So the Sma of the Nesivas say as far, they say there's a chazaka. There's a cheskas haguf. Animals are assumed to be kosher, meaning not trade but healthy. And if you want to take away that chazaka, so you have to prove it, and if you don't, you even have to pay money for it. That's their svar. The Shev Shmaitza says, where do you see that a chazaka is strong enough to take away money? If a rov, ain't holchin b'mamon achar a rov, you can't, even if you have a majority going for it, you can't extract money from someone. If you have a chazaka, just a chazaka, that's going to work. So he says, a different svara, he says, suppose the person bought an animal, and then it got lost. And he says, look, I don't want to pay you because I have a suffix, maybe it's a treifa. I have a suffix, it's a treifa. Prove to me that it's not a treifa. Hamotzi mechaveiro olav araya. I say, maybe it's a treifa. You say, well, it's not a treifa. You can't prove it to me. So he says, that's ridiculous, because if you have no reason to have a suffix, you can't start saying Hamasi Mechavei Elav Araya. It's only over here there's a suffix because you shechted it and you find that there's a treifa. So since in the seller's possession there was never any shaila, there was never any issue because he sold it, everything was fine, it's only afterwards in the domain of the buyer the issue came up. So then we say the halacha is Ein Machaskinen Reyesem Rishus LeRishus. The Reyes occurred in this person's possession, in the buyer's possession, and we don't say that that affects the seller's chazaka, and that's why the halacha is not Hamotzi Mechaveiro Elav Araya. We say Kanyinsa Kanhoya. So that's a little lamdus, but the halacha lemaisa Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara that we saw, is that when there's a shaila where a defect occurred, it's not Hamotzi Mechaveiro Elav Araya. The rule is Kanyinsa Kanhoya. Wherever the defect was found, that person has to prove that the defect was there before the time of the sale. If he does not prove that, so then the rule is, he has, if he paid already, he can't get his money back, and if he did not pay yet, he has to pay, because we assume that it occurred afterwards. But it's not so simple, because there's another halacha paskin in Shulchan Aruch based on the Tshuvas HaRosh, and that shaila is, Reuven sold Shimon cheese, and apparently in those days, cheese, when it's left out, became rotten. I mean, some cheeses get better with age, but... Huh? Yeah, I don't know, I thought cheese... Okay, so it's a type of cheese that gets rotten, or we can certainly know by milk, right? He bought milk, and he opens up the bottle, and 3 days later, and it smells sour. Right? That was the shiloh. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins based on this Tshuvas HaRash, go to cheese experts, ask them when they think this happened. So they, if they say, oh, this definitely is a week's worth of rottenness in here, so then you know it happened in the possession of the seller and you get your money back. Or if you didn't pay, you don't have to pay. But if it's a safek, hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. That's the lesson of the Tshuvas HaRash. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says, if it's a safek, hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. Now the Beis Yosef understands the Rush to be saying, it's the same halacha as the case of the treifa animal. Motzi mechaveiro olav haraya is lav dafka. It means, kanimsa kanhoya, the burden of proof is upon the person where it became sour, where the cheese became rotten. That's the way the Beis Yosef understands it. The same halacha we said until now. You have it in your possession, it became sour, you found it sour in your possession, prove that it became sour beforehand. If you can prove through experts that it was sour, so then you get your money back. And the Tashbates learns from this lashon of the Rush that in other cases also, if you, we can rely on experts, maybe Jewish experts, to tell us when the moment happened, and as long as we trust that they know what they're talking about, then it's okay. But if it's a safek, the Beis Yosef says, the safek occurred in Yerushas, so you have to pay for it, kanyan sa kanhoya. The Sma, the Nesivas, the Chazanish, the Shmaitza, they all disagree. All the poskim disagree with the Beis Yosef. They say this is different. Here, Hamosim Chavero, Olam Haraya is literal. Here it means, if the consumer had not yet paid, he does not have to pay until the seller can prove that the cheese was in good condition, the milk, or there's another case by the wine, was in good condition when he sold it. If now it's found to be vinegary when he opens it up, or the milk is sour, the cheese is rotten, so then he doesn't have to pay until the seller proves that it was okay when he sold it. If he already paid, so then he can't get his money back until he proves that it was rotten in the hands of the seller. Alright, so what's the difference between the two cases? What's the difference between an animal that he chefs it and he finds it's trefa? There we say he has to pay no matter what. There's nothing he can do about it. Or he opens up the cheese and it's rotten, where we say if he didn't pay, he doesn't have to pay until the seller proves that it was good when he sold it. What's the difference between the cheese and the animal? Yeah, that's the difference. This Ma says that animals don't become trefas. Animals could live their whole life and then not die until either of old age or they get shafted. But cheese, whenever cheese is left out, it spoils after a while. Cheese spoils after a while. Obviously nowadays milk left out will also spoil, or milk in general will spoil if it's, you know, the date isn't, if you keep it too long, it'll spoil. Wine turns to vinegar after a certain amount of time. So the way the Sma says it, even though normally, in the Nesivas, even though normally we say that the cheskes haguf of this seller is good enough for him to be able to take the money from you, kanim sakanhaya, and I have a chazaka that it was good in my possession, and it probably became bad in your rishos, but if it's something that has no cheskes haguf, because it's something that always spoils, the way of cheese is to spoil, the way of milk is to turn sour, the way of the wine is to turn into vinegar, so then he can no longer say that I have something in my rishos which is, has a cheskas kashrus, cheskas being good. So that's why over there we'll say the normal halacha of a Muslim chavero olav haraya. The way the Shmaisa says l'shitaso, he says that we don't say the reis that happened here was also by the seller, but over here where there's a reis in the cheese itself, we say that yeah, cheese gets bad. We see it's bad now. There's a good chance that it was bad in the hands of the seller. So based right, even though we didn't open it for a couple of days, unless it's something that you have to use right away normally. But if it's something that, you know, it's dated on the milk, and it says, you know, used by February 19th, or the kosher milk, they'll say, by Chaf Hei Shvat, and you open it up before Chaf Hei Shvat, and it's sour, assuming that you put it in the refrigerator and you didn't, were negligent with it, you can take it, well, it'll depend, right? It'll depend on if you paid or not. If you paid, so then it's a masim mechaveir all of a raya. If you paid, you have to prove that it was spoiled when you got it. Maybe it's spoiled in your possession. If we're saying if you did not pay yet, so then we'll have to hamasim mechaveir all of a raya. Now, it could be when they say milk and they say it's going to be fresh until February 25th, so they're saying that it's going to stay fresh that long, and if it doesn't, you can return it. And that is the minhag, I know from experience, that you know, they, when they sell it, they say that as long as you kept it right, so it should stay fresh that long, and even if you opened it and you know it's supposed to stay. And that's the chiluk. So there's two types of shilas we have right now. If it's something that could stay good forever, an animal does not have to become a treifa, and it's a shaila when the defect occurred, so then we say kan nimsa kan hoya, whether you paid or not, we assume that if you found the problem in your possession after you made the kinyan, we'll say like the Rama, so then you have to pay if you didn't pay, and if you paid you can get your money back. But if it's something that has in its normal tendency is to get spoiled, there's time value in the purchase, there's things that do spoil, so then the halacha is the classic hamasim mechaveira olavarai, because then there's no chazaka that it was good in the hands of the seller. It's a safek, so no one knows when it happens. Hamasim mechaveira olavarai. So the Divrei Malkiel says a case of someone bought a watch and he took it home and it didn't work. So he said, the halacha, what would you say the watch is like? Is a watch like cheese or like a treifa? Huh? Right. Watches could stay forever. Right? So he says it's not something that's darkul his kalkil, that's his lashon. It's something that could stay good forever. So in that case, we'll say, kanimsa kanhaya, it broke in your possession. So you have no recourse. Now, the Pischei Choshen says that doesn't mean, I'm not sure why he says it, but he says if you take it home and 3 days later you open up the watch and it's broken and you did nothing to do it, so then he says you might not say kanim sakanoya because you didn't do anything. You opened it up and it's like finding a defect many years later. Right, it's like finding a defect many years. I guess that's as far. Like we said, that if you find them many years later, right, you and there's a shishais, but in those cases we knew when it happened. Here we're not sure when it happened, but he's assuming the shaila is, how do you look at a watch breaking? How do you look at a do you look at it like a battery? It's, you know, like a battery. A battery
the
is
nature of the break.
Right.
The battery is broken, or the
right. So
the
it should depend on what it is. If it's something that entropies naturally, so then it could be it's more like the cheese. I was thinking in cases of cars. Like, what is it? If it's the tires, you get it and you'll see the tires has a flat. So, and it's, you knew it was a used tire. So tires have a tendency to wear out. They don't last forever. So there, that could be more like the cheese case. The case of the air conditioner, if it's the Freon that's lost, so then every few years you have to put in more Freon. That does leak out gradually every so often. And if there's a shaila when it happened, that could be like the cheesecake case also. It'll depend on whether you paid for it or not. But if it's a hole in there, a hole in the coil, so there's no reason why there should be a hole in the coil. It could last forever without a hole in the coil, so that would be like the treifa case. So I think it should depend on what type of defect we're talking about. We'll always have to see, is it something that is going to happen sooner or later, and with the shilas when it happens, so then it's a regular suffix, amasim mechavei or alavaraya. If it's something that should not happen, but it did happen, and you don't know when it happened, so then we'll go to the rule of kanim sakanhoya, whether you paid or not, you don't get your money back, or you have to pay if you didn't pay yet. The Chazon Ish says another application would be if you sold an old animal is on its way to dying, so that's something that could very well end up dying. So there, that would be more like the case of the cheese. But how about our case? So there's a Kesef Kadoshim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Buchacher. He has a similar shaila to the one we started with. His shaila is, someone bought a pair of tefillin, and after he bought them, he checked them with a surfer that he trusted, And the Sofer said that through age, and the Tisim Chosha must be, he bought an old pair of tefillin. You know, it was old. So through age, some of the letters faded, and it's possible now. So the Kesef Kedoshim says, Kanimsa Kanhoya. Kanimsa Kanhoya, whether he paid or not, the buyer has to prove that the mum had occurred beforehand. Now, the Pesach Choshen seems to think that he's arguing with the Sma. By the way, the Marsham disagrees with the Sma also. The Marsham agrees with the Beis Yosef that there's no such chilik between the two. So the Pesach Choshen thinks a tefillin aging, all tefillin are going to age after a while. The letters fade, and it's just a matter of time. And if the Kesef Kedoshim Paskin that Kanyin Sekanhoya, he also seems to be disagreeing with the Sma. I'm not sure if that's Muchach. We could say that tefillin could last hundreds of years without dafka aging. It's not that like milk going sour or cheese going rotten or wine turning to vinegar. Tefillin could last many years without anything happening. In fact, many sofrim say not to check your tefillin, because just by opening it up you can mess them up, and if you know they were put in well and you use them normally and nothing bad has happened to them, just keep them in the box. That's the safest thing for them. So anyway, that's Pesach Choshen, the way he looks at the Kesef Kedoshim. The Mishpat Shlomo though uses the Kesef Kedoshim as a precedent for his Shaila. He says, we see over here that we say Kanimso Kanhoya because tefillin should not go bad. Certainly in the Mishpat Shlomo's case, where it was moisture that made the tefillin possible, it wasn't something that should necessarily happen. Maybe fading, you could say, like Pesach Choshen, that will happen sooner or later. But that it should get smudged, that was something from an outside thing. That's like a trefa. That's like finding a hole in the car. That's like finding a broken watch. So he paskin, then in that case we will say kanim sa kanhoya, even though the consumer had not yet paid the sofer, since it's something that was found in his domain, in his rishos, right? He made the kinyan, it was in his rishos, so he has to prove that it was smudged when he went in the mocher's rishos. If he fails to prove that, he has to pay for it, and if he has paid, he can't get his money back. That's the way he concludes. So we are left with, I think, these two rules. I think the consensus is like the Sma's understanding of the second halacha, not like the Beis Yosef's. So whenever there's a safek, when the defect occurred, don't know. Everyone's honest here. We just don't know when it became a trefa. We don't know when it became smudge. We don't know when the air conditioner broke. We don't know when the watch broke. We just don't know when it happened. So we have to see what type of defect it is. If it's a defect that should not occur, it could, the item could go forever without having such a defect. So then it's like the behema that became a trefa. And we have a locha kanimsa kanhoya because it was had a chazaka being good. By the way, that he says the watch, the Rebbe Malkiel says the watch has a chazaka being good because when someone makes something, you assume that it's made to work and it must have broken afterwards. So whenever we knew that it was working in the hands of the mocher, we can assume it was working in the hands of the mocher. We could assume it was a good condition in the hands of the mocher. So it's up to the buyer to prove that it was really defective there. If he cannot prove that, he'll have to pay if he did not pay yet, and he certainly cannot get his money back if he already paid. But if it's a type of defect which is something that naturally happens, you know the cheese is going to go bad, the milk's going to go sour, the wine's going to turn to vinegar, the freon's going to leave the air conditioner, these things that the tire's going to wear out, things that are ongoing, they have ongoing, what's the word for it? Usage, the wear and tear that they wear out. So in that case, we'll have the normal halacha because there's no cheskas guf by the mocher anymore, or the he has a reyes already in his rishos, like the Shmaitzer said. So in that case, we'll say the normal din of hamosim mechaveir olav araya. If you paid, you can't get your money back until you prove that it was defective over there. If you did not pay, so then you do not have to pay until he proves that it was defective. It became defective in your rishos.
So my case is when you open the can of tuna fish, there's broken glass inside the can of tuna fish.
Right, so that's clear that it happened in the hands of the seller. Right, that's something that's no shaila.
You don't have to prove it.
You don't have to prove it.
Yeah,
so we're assuming that everyone's honest here. You know, if there's a machlokas, you say that, you know, he says no, you put it in. So, yeah, so then you'd have that, then it could be that would be back to the kanyim sa kanhoya. Right. I know that it was good, and you're saying that you know it wasn't, so kind of, so kind of, oh, you prove it, I'm a zechavei lover, are you? In that way.